On Monday this week, two-day Tibet-Mongol relations conference was held to discuss prospects and challenges in Tibet-Mongol relations since the 20th century and the path forward. Several Tibetan and Mongolian scholars and dignitaries, including two former Mongolian ambassadors, attended the conference organized by the Leif Hututut Foundation, Mongolian collaboration with the Tibet Policy Institute and Moscow-based Tibet Culture Center, Office of Tibet. To learn more about this important conference, I am joined by Dr. Tenzin Hardun, Research Fellow at the Tibet Policy Institute today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Hardun, to start with, can you tell us how did the conference go and tell us the importance of holding such conference at this time?
The conference went really well, to be really honest. And we could able to invite around 14 participants from Mongolia, among which 12 of them are professors in Mongol. They have been studying relations between Tibet and Mongolia for some time, and they presented their research during the conference. So it went really well, and it made a huge impact for a lot of us, for a researcher like me personally. And so I feel like in such time, I feel like when Tibetans are trying to present their own narrative, that we need to reclaim our narrative, right? It's important in that scenario. I feel like it's important to include, you know, our longest, what do you say, staying friends like Mongolia, for whom we have not only historical relations, but with whom we have cultural, religious, and deep-rooted relations long time back, right? So I think it's important for us to revive that relation. That is why we have this conference today, which also reflects on the what do you say, why the relation stopped, and then in the 20th century, and how the revival of Tibet-Mongol relations started in 1970s, and what are the process thereafter. So yeah.
So is it a first ever conference related to Tibet-Mongol relations?
I would say no, because Tibet Policy Institute itself has already organized in 2019, if I'm not wrong, a symposium called Tibet-Mongol Cultural and Religious Symposium, in which we also invited Telo Rinpoche as the speaker, as well as we have other speakers from Mongolia. But the difference between that conference and the conference we had today was that during 2019 symposium, we have scholars from, what do you say, researchers from Tibet Policy Institute presenting their own research on Tibet-Mongol relations. But today in this conference, the present conference, we had most of the speakers are Mongolia, as well as speakers from, what do you say, monasteries, different monasteries, where we invited Kempos and Geshes who are involved in this subject.
And also, can you brief us about the two-day conference this time? What all were discussed and topics which were the experts talked about? And also, according to you, what are the key takeaway from this conference?
Well, the key takeaway was certainly the fact that Tibet-Mongol relations have somehow, for some reason, it made a sort of like a huge stop right there in during 20th century, which was mentioned there. And then we started sort of like revived that sort of relations in 1970s. So I think the key takeaway is that, like Telo Rinpoche mentioned in the conference itself, I think the key takeaway sort of is for us to realize that there is a huge opportunity for both the stakeholders, be it Mongolia or for Tibetans, to explore that kind of issue between the two. We have till now, both Tibetans and Mongolia have celebrated that deep-rooted religious and spiritual connection between Tibetans and Mongolia and historical relations. But there wasn't much sort of like an effort or concern or concerted sort of like an effort given to scholarships in sort of like the present relations between Tibet and Mongolia. And whether we actually know that was there any Mongolian scholars who have written specifically on the present relations between Tibet and Mongolia. So those are rare, and it's a huge opportunity for us. And I've seen that some of the scholars, professors from Mongolia, presented those archival documents during their presentation, and which are quite new for us. We don't even know that they exist. So I think it presented us with an idea that even Tibetan scholars can do research and, what do you say, and visit Mongolia, visit those institutes and explore those area studies. So those are the key takeaways, I would say. And other than that, I think, you know, the scholars, both Tibetan scholars and the Mongolian scholars, professors from Mongolia, most of the, what do you say, the topics that they have covered are the political significance between a Qing dynasty and the Tibetan Tibet during that time, during the early 20th century, and between Mongolian ruler at the time. There were also a very interesting topic that was being touched by one of the professor who spoke on the literary, relations or the literary connections between Tibet and Mongolia, which is quite rare to see. I mean, considering the importance that was given to both religion and, you know, spiritual connection between Tibet and Mongolia. And we have also seen some, Tibetan scholars, you know, from different institutes who participated and presented their research during the conference has brought quite interesting, research during their presentation, that some of them spoke of, you know, various Mongolian scholars who have come from Mongolia and visited, you know, India, and they have stayed in India in different Tibetan monasteries. Some of them have even brought up in Lhasa, you know, in the Gandhi Monastery, in Debung Monastery. They were trained there and then exiled with us. They came into exile in India, and how they have become geishas. Some of them are very popular geishas, and some of them have become, politically very helpful for even the Dalai Lama to, you know, negotiate and to contact with other foreign countries.
And as you said, there's this long gap of relations between the Tibet and Mongol over the years, right? Or maybe more than a decade, right? Yeah. So what do you think cause for this distance, can you speak about challenges that led to this strain?
So since I'm not really an expert on this particular subject, impression that I get from attending this conference today is that, Tibetans have, since we came into exile, our movement has focused so much on, on protecting our culture and religion and human rights and all. So most of our focus has been shifted to, you know, gaining international support from the U.S. Congress to European Parliament resolution to India and all these major countries, you can say, right? In between those, arrangement, I would say, we did not forget. I wouldn't say forget, but we kind of, we did not give much importance to, maintaining or improving our relations with Mongolia. That's what I get the impression from the conference. So I think that's not because Tibetans have less importance given to Mongolia, or that we don't appreciate our valuable friendship or historical relations with Mongolia. I think it's purely because we are in a very delicate political situation at the time, that we have to come to exile in India. We had to build our own, you know, society sort of institution there, right there from the foundation. So we ourselves were going under a very difficult process. So I think that's kind of the time where we sort of like, during a time when, you know, Tibetans are facing pressure from the Chinese Communist Party and all that. So I think that was the time when we sort of like lose touch with Mongol. But after 1970s, when the Dalai Lama started visiting Mongolia, I think in 1970s, if I'm not wrong, his first visit. And then his second visit was around 2016 or 15. So both this, visit was, made a huge impact in Mongolia itself. It was not only His Holiness visit, but these days were, what I felt is that for the many past years, many Tibetan lamas, Kempos and lamas has visited Mongolia many times, and many Mongolian, not only tourists, but not only spiritual tourists, but many Mongolian students started, visiting Dharamsala as well. So the exchange between people to people has always been improving.
But do you think this exchange is more of on the spiritual side? And what I also learned from the conference is also Thelo Tulku Rinpoche also, I think he said there need to be more people on the both side doing research on this particular, this relation and this the great history that we share, right? Yeah. So what do you think about that? And also, the director of TPI, he said with this conference, also it opened up another door, right? It's a step toward some more work or more to improve the relation. So what do you see, what kind of future do you see this relation hold?
Definitely. I agree with Thelo Rinpoche as well as with the director of Tibet Policy Institute. I think there's a lot of opportunity for both the parties right here. And it's true that the relations between Mongolia and Tibet has always been religious and spiritual. And most of the attentions and effort was also given to that kind of area, right? But then I think it's time for us to explore our relations more than that, because both in history, it was only between Mongolia and Tibet that we signed treaty, and not after, other countries. I see that both Tibet and Mongolia signed a treaty and claimed that both the countries are an independent country. That was, if I'm not wrong. So I think it's important for us to reclaim that kind of history back there. And not just that, but I think, like Thelo Rinpoche mentioned earlier, he is also leading various groups of, various groups of students who kind of visit Dharamsala, not only on a spiritual basis, but it's important also for us to explore that people-to-people connection. Not just that, but more importantly, what can we explore in these scholarships, Like I see in this conference today, the kind of archival documents that they continue to show. I think we are seeing those documents for the first time. And what the professors told is that those archival documents are actually accessible in Mongolia. But if you can go to Mongolia and visit Mongolia, those institute, it's quite accessible. So in that ways, I think it's also very rare to see Tibetan scholars visiting Mongolia and exploring those kind of opportunities as well. So I think there is a lot of opportunity on both the sides.
Mm. Right. Okay. So, Latula, these are my questions for today. Yeah. Thank you so much for
taking
out your time and talking to us. It's lovely talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
With this, we have come to the end of today's program of In Conversation with Tibet TV. Thank you so much for watching.